Oh, here we go. Right. Now, recording. So this is about resurrection, and what is it? So last week we had Easter. Easter's an interesting time, isn't it, really? I think the world is only interested in Easter because it has lots of chocolate and Easter eggs and bunnies. And I'm not sure how bunnies lay eggs, but yeah. But as a lot of us know, the Easter message that we celebrate, that they celebrate in the world, is when synchronism happened in the church. Okay, so as people came into the church in the old times, they brought a lot of their cultish stuff into the church. And even today, there's lots of synchronism in some churches, you know, which is very anti what's written. But anyway, we use that time to celebrate our Lord. So it's kind of an interesting subject, really, especially the resurrection part of it, because that's about the Lord rising from the dead and being transformed. I mean, there's lots of people today who, or lots of religious people in the past and today, they just die. And when they die, they go to the grave and they stay there. That's not what our Lord did. The interesting thing is that he wasn't just raised, but he is transformed. You'll notice when you read of the event, the disciples didn't recognize him. And there's a whole, I'm not going to cover that, but there's a whole story in there, because the disciples still had carnal minds. And when Jesus came back and was resurrected, he was spirit. So they didn't recognize him at all, because they were looking at him with their carnal mind, not their spiritual mind. But like I say, that's a whole other thing. But anyway, the dictionary says the resurrection of Jesus is the Christian belief that God raised Jesus from the dead after his crucifixion. In Christian theology, the death and resurrection of Jesus are the most important events, a foundation of the Christian faith, and commemorated by Easter. Notice there they have nothing there about transformation. But anyway, so this teaching I've broken into 10 parts. It's not that long. Okay, so the first part is resurrection, the core of the Christian message. Two is the belief in Jesus' physical resurrection is the defining doctrine of Christianity. And three, the resurrection demonstrates the whole universe, the deity of Jesus, and God's love for him. And four, without the resurrection, there would have been no church at all. Five, our neglect of Jesus' resurrection may be one of the reasons our gospel preaching is so powerless. Six, the resurrection purchased our justification. Seven, the resurrection gives us the joy of knowing that Christ is with us today. Eight, the resurrection gives us hope that goes beyond the grave. Nine, the resurrection unites every Christian with the life-giving spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And 10, because of the resurrection, we can now know that Jesus is personally coming back to judge and rule the world. Sounds a lot, but you'll get the idea. Okay, this is my teacher, not preacher, coming out. Okay, one, the resurrection is the core of the Christian message and should never be neglected or assumed. Nowadays, when we hear the gospel preached, the focus is usually on life's experience, sin, redemption, or the cross, and what that means. The resurrection is often ignored or just assumed or mentioned only in passing. The preaching recorded in the book of Acts emphasized the resurrection of Jesus and barely mentioned his death. So it was really important in those days. So if you put yourself in the skin of the people back in the Acts, the resurrection was the foremost thing. That was the most important thing. The apostles were preoccupied with the resurrection and emphasized it much more than the cross. Okay, so you can imagine that must have been pretty important. They were there at the cross. They were with Jesus for 3 or 4 years. They saw him crucified, but the most important thing in their mind was the resurrection. Sadly, the church only seems to be excited about the resurrection at Easter time nowadays. Easter comes round and it's like, it's Easter. And there's a whole, churches get into all this stuff, you know. So Jesus defeated death. Imagine what church would have been like if we consciously gathered every week to celebrate resurrection. So, you know how things are around Easter. Imagine if you did that every Sunday. Why does it have to be Easter? You know? So, 2, belief in Jesus' physical resurrection is the defining doctrine of Christianity. The interesting fact is that every Christian denomination, from the Orthodox to the Catholic, from the Pentecost to the Reformed Baptist, all believe one simple truth. The tomb was empty. Alright? So no matter what other fundamental things they have going on in their churches, the one thing that everyone agrees with is that the tomb was empty. So this is the one fundamental fact we all agree on. There are some who deny that, and in fact, in doing that, they forfeit the right for them to be Christians, really. If a Christian doesn't believe that that Jesus rose from the dead, are they Christian? You know. Basically, a Christian is someone who believes in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. We'll see what Paul says in Romans 10:9. And he says there, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's pretty simple. The gospel is pretty simple. It's not complicated. No. Okay, 3, the resurrection demonstrates the whole universe, the deity of Jesus and God's love for him. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Romans 1:4. And remember, the Jews were waiting for this, you know, way back in time. And when it came face to face, they couldn't handle it. And probably, you know, we'd be the same. Probably slightly different because we're born again spiritual believers. But pre that, we would have been the same. So Romans 1:4, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's the resurrection of Jesus that reveals his true nature to all who will see. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and saviour to give repentance and forgiveness of sin. Acts 5:30-31. Okay, the God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. Israel can be us, by the way. So four, without the resurrection, there would have been no church at all. After Jesus was arrested, after his arrest and death, the disciples were lost, helpless and afraid. You can imagine it, eh? And what did Peter do? He denied Jesus three times. What happened to all the rest? They all ran away. They were scared. It's hard to conceive of anything other than the resurrection of Jesus that would have led to this group of very ordinary people sharing the message of Jesus in such a way that it grew into the largest religious movement ever known to man. I mean, the whole Western world is based on Jesus, even though they'd like to deny it. You know? I mean, the whole Western world has Easter, though the roots of Easter aren't exactly, but we use that time as commemorated to for us to stop and have a think about what happened, and of course Christmas. And again, that's a little bit inaccurate, but the whole Western world celebrates these things now. That's a lot of people. Without their unwavering confidence in Jesus' resurrection, would the disciples have risked everything, and in many cases, been killed for their faith? People die all the time for falsehoods that they themselves genuinely believe to be true. It is, however, impossible to believe that all of the disciples would die for something they knew to be a deliberate deception. The church did not create the resurrection stories. Instead, the resurrection stories created the church. Okay. So I'll just say that again. The church did not create the resurrection stories. Instead, the resurrection stories created the church. Five. Our neglect of Jesus' resurrection may be one of the reasons our gospel preaching is so powerless. Right, this is Spurgeon. Do you know who Spurgeon was? Spurgeon was a famous preacher from way back. Okay. Spurgeon examined the preaching of his day and felt the reason of its lack of power was its lack of emphasis on the resurrection. Spurgeon determined to emphasize the message of the resurrection and saw thousands of conversions as a result. If we choose to neglect the preaching of the resurrection, should we be surprised if we don't see similar results? Okay, when Paul spoke about the gospel, he always meant the announcement of the glorious victory of the risen King. It is this gospel that is the power of God. So he always talked about the glorious victory of the risen King all the time. And that's Paul. I mean, you know Paul's history. He must have been very serious about it. I mean, Paul was out before he became Paul, he was Saul, wasn't he? And he was persecuting the Christians, dumping them all off. And all of a sudden, he became one of the most famous, I say, of all the people of old writing the gospel. And he was no slug. You know, he knew his stuff. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Okay, six, the resurrection purchased our justification. Okay, when you ask most Christians about justification, they move straight to the cross of Jesus paying the price for their sins. But if justification simply means an absence of guilt, then we have a blank slate and have to spend the rest of our lives worrying if we will mess it up again. Paul tells us, on the contrary, He was delivered up for your for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So if that wouldn't have happened, we wouldn't be justified. Romans 4:25. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. I mean, there's a whole plan there. Of course, you know all this stuff. What this means is that when Jesus rose again, he was declared to be righteous, not only just lacking any sin, but embodying holiness. Jesus' perfection outweighed the debt of our sins, and now the Christian is counted as righteous. Okay, without this truth, we will not fully grasp the joy of salvation. Jesus was our obedient substitute during his life, our punishment substituted in his death, and our rebirth substituted in his resurrection. And remember, everything that Jesus did, he did it as an example. Like I think a couple of weeks ago, I was saying, you know, Jesus went and got baptized in the Jordan. Did he need to be? John was baptizing for the remission of sin. Was Jesus a sinner?
Of course not.
No. So why did he do it? As an example. And he probably, because he was in the flesh, he had a sinful body, I guess. And there's a whole story around that. Okay, 7. The resurrection gives us the joy of knowing that Christ is with us today. Now listen to this. He has promised, he hasn't just said it, he's promised that he will be with us to the end of time. This changes everything. A dead hero in the grave is no help to us at all. Right? But a risen Saviour in heaven gives us great confidence. Because the tomb is empty and Jesus is on the throne, we can know for sure that we will be victorious, irrespective of what is happening in today's world. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. It's a pretty straightforward sort of statement, isn't it? You just got to believe these things. 8. The resurrection gives us hope that goes beyond the grave. We live in a broken world. Every Christian will at some time, some point in their lives, know the pain of grieving for a loved one. When Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, did I say that? 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Yeah, that's right. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about who are those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. So we have hope. It'd be pretty hard to live without hope, don't you think? It would be hopeless. He did not mean that we would not experience sadness. He meant because Jesus conquered the grave, we have confidence that one day we too will rise. Right? And so meet both Jesus and our believing loved ones again. This changes everything when we come face to face with death. 9. The resurrection unites every Christian with the life-giving spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I'll just say that slower. The resurrection unites every Christian with the life-giving spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It is through the resurrection that, 1 Corinthians 15:45, So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Paul tells us the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So it dwells in every one of you here. If you've all been baptized and spirit-filled and born again. Romans 8:11. And you've got to believe this stuff. That's what faith's about. And you know it's impossible to please God unless you have faith. Okay, so Romans 8:11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit that dwells in you. Okay, so this amazing power is available to transform, equip and empower us. Ephesians 1:19-20. And his incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him to his right hand in the heavenly realms. And 10, because of the resurrection, we can know that Jesus is personally coming back to judge and rule the world. Okay, it's a source of great joy for the Christian that Jesus will return. It's a pretty good thought. But it should also cause great concern for those who are living in strange from him. Okay, because of the resurrection, we can be sure that this same Jesus will return again, because that's what he said he was going to do. I think he did everything he said he was going to do, so he must be going to do that. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30-31. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. All right, so that gives you an idea, a quick idea of resurrection. There's a lot more to resurrection, like I was saying before. But it gives you a glimpse of what it's about. So we looked at the resurrection, the core of the Christian message. Belief in Jesus' physical resurrection is the defining doctrine of Christianity. The resurrection demonstrates to the whole universe the deity of Jesus and God's love for him. Without the resurrection, there would have been no church at all. Our neglect of Jesus' resurrection may be one of the reasons our gospel preaching is so powerless. The resurrection purchased our justification. The resurrection gives us the joy of knowing that Christ is with us today. The resurrection gives us hope that goes beyond the grave. And the resurrection unites every Christian with the life-giving spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And because of the resurrection, we can know that Jesus is personally coming back to judge and rule the world. But that's an interesting thought, isn't it, about, you know, we have the Holy Spirit in us, you know, we got that at baptism, didn't we? You know, when we got water baptized, we went under the waters of baptism, all old things have passed away, we came up, all things are new, and from that time onwards we received the impartation of the Holy Spirit. Some people may debate that, but I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Okay. That's why when a person gets baptized, they should be baptized at an age of understanding. Dedications are great. You know, when babies, dedicating babies to the church, that the church look after them and all that sort of stuff, that's great. But actual baptism, the person has to be at the age of understanding to understand what they're doing. Some years ago, I worked for an alcohol and drug rehab in Martin, and I used to go to the Assemblies of God in Martin, and they had lots of people going from the rehab to be baptized, and so they got me to vet people, because addicts, people who are in addiction, do everything over the top, over the top, over the top, you know. And so a lot of their church activities were over the top. So I used to have to sit down and talk to them to make sure that they were sure what they were doing when they were being baptized. They had a full understanding of what they were doing and what was going to happen afterwards. I mean, what happened to Jesus? He went down, he got baptized. He came out of the waters of baptism, the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and then what happened? He was tested. Listen, when I got baptized years ago in the Lahad Assembly, the very next day I had two different lots of people knocking at my door. The very next day, that was an eye opener. Yeah. Anyway, we'll finish this off with a prayer, and then we've got three more songs we'll do. Okay, so just bow your heads a bit. And thank you, Father, that once again, through the Holy Spirit, we have a glimpse of what your plan is for us in your kingdom. Lord, that through the cross and the resurrection of your Son, Jesus, and our own baptism, we have the same Spirit dwelling in us that brought the worlds into being. Rose Christ from the dead and leads us daily. Father, just open our eyes and just give us faith in that this is what happens. Thank you, Father. Our hope is in you. Bless you, Father. Bless you, Jesus. And bless you, Holy Spirit. Amen. I always bring the Holy Spirit into it because I think people leave him out too much. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is the one thing that keeps it all together. Musicians. Reasons I've changed the order of service because these three songs gives you a chance to get closer to the Lord. You know, the job of the musician is the Levite, all right? And the Levites, if you know your biblical history, they're the ones that when they went into battle, they went ahead, and they were the musicians. So these people standing here and myself, we're kind of spiritual Levites. What we do is we bring you into the throne room of God. Right? Now, I've heard some people say, oh, no, it's all emotion. Well, yes, it is emotion. It's all about emotion. Of course it is. But it's good emotion, you know, and it brings you into being closer with God. I mean, everyone can have the eyes shut. No one has to see you. If I've got my eyes shut, no one can see me. It's preposterous, I don't think. But anyway, you know what I mean. The thing is, this is a chance where you can really be involved with your God and give him praise and worship because he loves it. We are made to do that. In fact, once we, at the end of time, and once we go up to be with the Lord, we're going to be doing that quite a lot. So this is a good time to practice. All right.
May I request everyone to stand up, please.
Just
This is my time.
This is
I'm
thank you, Father, that you give us the opportunity to walk into the Holy of Holies. Father, that we are there right now, that we may seem around us a physical earth, but spiritually, Father, we're here with you. You say that we are two or three are gathered, you are here amongst us. Father, we know that. We believe it. Thank you, Father. Father, we just ask that you be with every person in this congregation, Lord, through the week. Lord, that you touch them by your Holy Spirit. You lead them by your Holy Spirit that is in us from our time of baptism, Father, from the time that we were Spirit-filled, born again. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Father. Bless you, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Let's give a big clap for that.
Cup of tea.
Do you want to announce that there's the home group times, maybe? Do you want to announce the home group time?
Bible study.
Yeah.
One time and daily demonstrate at 7 o'clock, Wednesday. So everyone is invited.
Oh, is there food there? Right, we better bless the food, eh? Father, thank you for this food. Thank you for those hands that prepared it. Bless them. Now, you guys know that every time that I say bless you and bless you, it's not just me saying, hey, how are you? I'm actually blessing you. If you know what blessings are about, every time you meet someone, shake their hand, look in their eye and say, bless you. It's power. You have no idea how powerful it is. We are spiritually blessing. We're blessing this place. We're blessing this food. We're blessing those people that did all this. And the Lord will bless us in our week. Amen.
You want to go?
Run to the end.